This is Mike Lytle. This is The Real Deal. I've got on the phone with me Mick Box, one of the founding members of Uriah Heep. Welcome to the show, Mick.
Thank you, Mike. Happy day. Glad to be here.
Okay. You're playing over at Knucklehead Saloon Thursday night, March 15th, here in just a few days. Hopefully it's going to work out, and you're looking forward to it, right?
Very much so, Mike. I mean, every show we look forward to, and that's no exception. So, yeah, we'll be ready to rock.
Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit about the band and what to expect in the show.
Well, the band is, the band as you know it, and we've just been rocking all over the world. We play in 61 countries, so probably for the show, we always play the old favourites, mate, because we're aware that people want to hear those songs like the July Morning, the Gypsy, the Easy Living, and Lady Blank and Stealing and stuff like that. And we dispersed that with a few tracks of our last studio album called Outsider. And then we also dig up some older tracks that we haven't played in a while just for the fun of it. So it's actually a good journey through our career from our first album to the last.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. A nice mix of both the past and the present.
I think it's very important to do that, yeah.
Yeah. How about the band? Who's in the band these days?
Well, we've got on keyboards Phil Lanzon, who's been with us since 1986. We've got Bernie Shaw, our vocalist. He's been with us since 1986. And we've got Russell Gilbrook on the drums now. He's been with me for over 10 years now. And Dave Rimmer replaced Trevor Boulder, who passed away, unfortunately. He's been with us for about 5 years now.
Fantastic. It sounds like a good, stable group of guys. You guys must be pretty tight.
It is a very good, stable guy. I mean, Uriah Heep's a good place to be, my friend.
Good deal. Well, now for the Heep novice who's out there, who happens to listen to our show, tell us a little bit about how did the band get started? What's the history of Uriah Heep? Way back to the beginning.
Oh, back to the beginning. Well, we were a four-piece called Spice. We call ourselves Spice because we didn't want our music to just be one genre. And, you know, with Spices, there's many, many Spices. So we wanted to follow that track with our music. And we were discovered by a guy called Jerry Bron, playing a blues club in Blues Left Hole, Wickham in London. Or actually, it's just outside of London. And he came and saw us, and he put us in the studio. And because we were writing original songs, he was very excited about that, and he particularly liked David Byron and myself. And we went in there, recorded the songs, and they started to sound really exciting, so he was on board from the off, to be honest. And then we started developing the songs, and as it was a four-piece, we didn't have a keyboard player, and we felt that listening back to those songs, they needed another colour in there. And I was a big Vanilla Fudge fan. So I thought the Hammond organ would be the ideal instrument because the Hammond organ can be very gentle, can be very aggressive, can be very, very nice. It fits every part of our music. And so we tried a few tracks out in the studio and heard them coming back and said, yeah, this is the sound we need. And then we found a guy called Ken Hensley who used to play in a band called The Gods. And he came and joined us, and that was the beginning of Uriah Heep.
Yeah.
And if you listen to our first album, you can see where the name Spice came from, because we changed the name from Spice to Uriah Heep, you know, when we released our first album. And you can see that on there, there's a bit of rock, bit of jazz, bit of blues, bit of metal, bit of folk, bit of everything, you know.
Sure, sure. And then just a few albums later, you guys essentially have become superstars by the Demons and Wizards album. Kind of a fast, rapid rise,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we're lucky enough that we signed an album deal for about five or six albums, so we grew with the label, and the label grew with us. So we didn't have anyone breathing down our necks saying, you have a single, you've got to do this, you've got to do that.
Sure.
They just let us develop in our own way, and I think that worked to the advantage in the end. And, of course, by the time we got to Demons and Wizards, we'd found our template for life.
So was there a certain point, whether it be an album or a certain single that got released, that you guys knew, hey, we're on top now, we've made it, quote-unquote? Any particular point?
With Demons and Wizards, I think that took us onto the world stage. And probably the song off that album that did that would be Easy Living.
Sure.
And because Demons and Wizards had lyrical content about, you know, the wizardry and stuff like that, and all those sort of lyrics that captured people's imagination, I think, and everyone jumped on board. And since then, that album's been cited by so many other bands, has been influential in their career too.
Sure. Any great memories that take you back to the old days from those days that are worth sharing, or are they too long and too far in the mists of time?
I think they're probably too long, but I think the great thing about it, it was the days when a band recorded as a band.
Sure.
You know, we didn't record piecemeal. It wasn't all computerized. You just went in there and played. And I think that way you get a good, true, honest representation of what the band's all about. And that still stands true today because we just finished recording a new album in January.
Living the Dream, isn't that the name of it?
Living the Dream, yes. So we approached that in the same manner, you know, where the band went in there and just played as a band, you know, like you used to do in the old days. And it worked out great, you know. You get a great feeling from it then, rather than people recording separately or in different countries even.
Sure, sure. We look forward to the new album, and we'll be playing it. We're one of the Kansas City stations that will be playing your new album, sir.
Great. Well, we're very excited about it because apart from the songs, you know, we've got a producer called Jay Rustin, who's done some other stuff with the Warrney Dogs and Stone Sour and Black Star Riders and Europe and stuff with mixing, and he's just a wonderful producer, and he came on board and he really brought out another dimension to us, which was lovely.
Sure. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to be on the new album? Any specific tracks that come to mind?
It'll just be an extension or the natural progression from Outsider, okay. Our last studio album, to be honest. But it's got a lot on there. It's got the usual stuff. It's got all the rock you want. You know, it's got the metal you want. It's got the it's got the ballads. It's got a bit of acoustic stuff. It's got pretty much everything on there.
Fabulous.
That Heap's known for.
Fabulous.
But I think the important thing is that, you know, we feel at this juncture they're really good songs that will stand the test of time.
Excellent. Excellent. I assume some of those will be in the show at Knuckleheads on Thursday night, right?
They certainly won't.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
No, there's no way we'd release it at the moment. No, I don't think the record company would want us to either.
Okay.
Because in the market we are today, you play a song at the sound check, and before we've even got back in the dressing room, it's out on the internet.
Fair enough, fair enough, fair enough. I'll give you that one, fair enough. Let's compare the classic Uriah Heep lineup from the 70s to the current lineup. Is it possible to do a comparison at all?
I think you can't compare it because the world was a different place too. You know, if we had this band at that time, then it'd probably be very comparable. But, you know, you just can't compare those things.
Sure.
You know, because when you look back at when we were releasing records in the 70s, there really wasn't that much happening other than sport, fashion, and music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now you can do all that on your iPhone.
Sure, sure.
You know, the diversions here are immense in this day and age, whereas back then they were just more focused on those three things.
Sure. Well, you've had such a great career, illustrious, many great hits, many great albums that sold a lot of albums. Any downsides, regrets that come to mind?
I'm not a regret person, I have to admit, because I think that things happen in life for a reason. You have to either learn by it or not learn by it, as some people do.
Sure.
But, you know, you have to move forward and be positive. But, I mean, if you put it under the banner of regret, of course, the loss of the members that we had, you know, losing David and losing Gary, losing Trevor.
Sure.
And John Wetton, of course, was very, very sad times in our life.
Sure. Well, the best thing we can do is keep on rocking. I assume that's the future plan for you and Uriah Heep.
Well,
keep on the road.
Keeping on rocking, my friend. We're keeping the spirit alive for those guys and the music that they contributed to Uriah Heep.
Excellent. You ever played at Knuckleheads over here in Kansas City?
I don't think we have, but we're looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got a great name for starters.
It is. It's a smaller venue, so it will be packed, I guarantee you. And there's a train that runs through the area, so hopefully you have songs that blend well with the sound of a train in the background.
I'm sure we will.
Just remember I said that.
Stealing chunks along a bit, isn't it?
That's good. That's good. Well, the website for those that want to find out more about Uriah Heep is www.uriah-heep.com, correct?
That's correct, my friend, yeah.
All right.
And we're celebrating our 20th anniversary on that this year.
Excellent. Well, any future plans that come to mind other than hitting the road and making new music on a CD that can be released? What else you got in the plan? Anything else?
I think plan-wise, it's just that, you know, we've got this extensive tour we've been on here. And we've just done 6 weeks here in Canada and America. We go back home for 10 days, then we come out and do another 4 weeks, going from Texas over to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going back home, and we've got loads of festivals to do all through the year. Sweden Rock Festival, I mean, there's tons to do. And then, of course, to release the new album, we'll come around and do it all again. and we've got European tours going through Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway. I mean, it's just it's an endless role. But, you know, it's a rock and roll circus that I'm very happy to be a part of.
You must just love being on the road is what it comes down to, right, Mick?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's what we live for, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, to be honest, any musician worth his weight does 10 years on the road before you even get in the studio.
Sure.
So it's usually your first love anyway.
Sure. Bernie Shaw. Tell me this craziest story about Bernie Shaw, because that guy seems like he's got a million stories he could share with us. Tell me a Bernie Shaw story.
I think you'd have to read the book for that one. he's a good guy. He's been with me since 1986, and we're the best of friends. I was his best man at his wedding, and we're very, very close. You know, we're very close friends.
That's cool. You mentioned a book. Is there really a book about Uriah Heep or about your career?
Well, people keep asking me to write one, and I keep attempting to do so, but I get bored about writing about myself. But plus, you know, there's only so much you can write. I certainly couldn't do a Motley Crue because, you know, I have family that I love. And,
oh, I get it. I get it. I
want to be upsetting them.
I get it. I get it. Let's talk about family for a second. What's the family life like for Mick Box?
Well, I've got a wife called Sheila. We've been married now for 17 years odd. I've got one young boy who's 17 years old, mm-hmm. called Romeo, and I've got another boy who's 40 years old, who lives in America, is a good drummer, and his name's Mikey. So between the 40 and the 17, there was lots of touring.
Sure. Both will be musicians, hopefully, someday?
Well, My older boy, Mikey, yes, he's a drummer and he plays in bands all over the place. He lives he sort of flits between Dallas and Austin, mm-hmm. Texas. But my younger boy, he's got the talent to do it, but he's showing no drive to go into that sort of career yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday, right?
We can but hope. I wish.
Maybe someday.
I mean, I tried to make my older boy a guitarist, but he ended up a drummer. So yeah. You can't always guide these things the way you want.
Well, maybe someday he gets in Uriah Heep, perhaps, right?
You never know, mate. The worst things have happened, haven't they?
That's right. That's right. But as far as things you do outside of the band and things that are related to the band, do you have any hobbies outside of music?
Well, I'm a big football fan. So you call it soccer over here, but
right.
Football in London, and the team is Tottenham Hotspurs. And uh-huh. Of course, I follow them avidly. Go to as many matches as I can when I'm in London. But usually, our time off from Heap, because we work so much, you know, we can be out on the road 200 days a year.
Sure.
So when we're home, you know, we just carry on with family stuff, you know, and go out to the cinema and have meals with your wife and your family and just generally take your rock and roll hat off and put on your family hat on, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And they demand it of you too, which is great, and I love that, because, you know, that's the sort of balance in life you need.
Sure. Let's get back to the music for a second, because I've always wanted to ask you this, and I was hoping we'd have time for it, but of the classic Uriah Heep albums from yesteryear, from the 70s, do you have a favorite that stands out, or a favorite cut?
No, I don't think I use that favorite word in anything, because, you know, I think if you do, then you kind of, you don't move forward anymore, you know, because that's your pinnacle. So I kind of just look forward to that, and I just let everybody else make their favorite list, but I don't really have one. I mean, there are certain albums across the way that have had markers, of course, where the success has come in, like, you know, your first album, which was great, and then you got The Demons of Wizard, which is great. And for instance, we jumped all the way up to Abominog that went top 40 in America, and that was a great time, too.
Sure.
So there's many, many sort of markers, but as being a favorite, no, I couldn't say that, no.
And I was going to actually separate that from two different camps, the classic lineup, and then, say, from 86, when Bernie joined and the rest of the guys hooked up, and you've had some real stability since 86, I was going to see if perhaps there was a favorite since 86 that really stands out, and maybe Abominog's it, huh?
Well, as an album, you mean?
Yeah.
Instead, no, not really. I can't say that, you know. They're just markers in my life, you know, and success is either to me, success is that I'm still doing what I'm doing at this age, from when I was 18. So
yeah. Sounds like you're a happy man.
That's the success to me. And the other thing is that, you know, when people ask you about, you know, I think the most rewarding thing of all is when somebody comes up to a show and says, look, I saw you in whatever year it was, and you inspired me to pick up the guitar, and I've got my own band, and I want to thank you. I think that's the that's the best success you can ever have, really.
Amen to that, Mick. Amen to that. We're with Mick Box from Uriah Heep. Again, he's at Knuckleheads this coming Thursday night, the 15th. I believe there's still tickets available. So, Mick, I didn't have anything else to run past you unless you did, my friend.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that. We got the living and dreaming. We got them all in, mate, and thank you very much for that.
Yeah, same on this end.
Trust me, we'll have a hot, sweaty time, but it'll be a great time that will stay in your memory for a long, long time.
Absolutely. Hey, you going to sell some product there, like some of the CDs? Are they going to be on sale in the back or anything?
I'm not sure what the merchandising is, but we certainly have some merchandise. We have a merchandise stand there, most definitely, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time, Mick.
All right, mate.
We'll let you get out on the road again. Good luck, continued success, and keep on rocking, my friend.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks for your support. It means the world. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, mate.